The story is told of Andrew Jackson, and I was fascinated reading his family. His friends from growing up were shocked when he became a general and then when he became president. They all knew who the smartest kids were in their school, and they said that wasn't him. They all knew who the strongest kids were. That wasn't him. There was one kid in particular that they said he was smarter and stronger than Andrew Jackson, and they said they wrestled frequently. And the other guy always, well, at least 3 out of 4 times would beat Andrew. What on earth led to his greatness? And as they started to speculate, they finally realized it wasn't that he was good at it as much as that he was tenacious. The more they started thinking about it, they said not only did he lose to this guy when they wrestled 3 out of 4 times, the other guy won the first 3 times. They said, typically you play best out of 3, which means he lost. And it was the fact that he kept going until he won that finally wore the other guy down. And they said, I bet that was what led to his greatness. They looked back and thought, it's his tenacity. It's his persistence. And I think sometimes as we're looking at the book of James and we're looking at, okay, so we're trying to have victory over sin, we're asking God for wisdom, we're looking at the big picture with the perspective of what's coming up, and then we practically look at yesterday and this morning even and say, well, I failed. I guess I don't get those things. But I want us to remember as we start today that we're looking at persistence. Because we're looking at a heart attitude, it's not the failures, it's the tenacity of saying, no, this is what I'm going for. I will serve Christ. I will have victory. Yeah, a just man falls 7 times and rises again. With that thought, let's read our passage today. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That was really short. Maybe you guys were still even looking in your Bible to find it. Let me read it again. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The more I think about how we face trials, the more I realize there's an internal battle that's really quite simple. We struggle with loving ourselves more than we love God. This passage is telling us something very important, though. It says, because God honors endurance, you must persevere. Because God honors endurance, you must persevere. And we're going to look at two aspects of that from the verse today. We're going to begin with the first part of the verse, when it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, in this context, the crown is not referring to a literal crown. You know, it's not that you're walking in the grocery store and you know that there are certain aisles that if you go down, it's going to be harder not to look at things you shouldn't. And so you don't walk down those aisles and you get to the checkout aisle and the lady goes, wow, what a nice crown you have on. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's not that you get a crown that's physical. It's referring to a reward. It's looking at the picture that James's audience would have been aware of. There were kingly crowns made out of gold, but there were also crowns made out of plants that were awarded to athletes. And it wasn't that it was incredibly valuable. It was the fact that it was the symbolic act as part of a reward. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a crown of life. Now, there are a lot of things in life you can do that help with physical life. And I'm constantly amazed talking with some older people how smart they are. You know, they didn't get old being dumb. I don't know if you see on Facebook all the dumb things guys do. There's like these video compilations that say why the average girl lives longer than the average guy. And you see all these ladders that are like on the top of a staircase and then going up atop. There's all sorts of crazy things that people do, and you don't live long when you do that. And then there's other people like my grandpa who amaze me with their practical smarts. You know, they... My grandpa would do things with an engine that I'd just look at and say, that's incredible. How in the world did you even move that engine? And he says, well, I used this lever, I used this pulley, and he goes through and explains how he like never lifted more than 50 pounds at a time. And it's like, I now understand why he's celebrating his 90th birthday in January, because he's made a lot of smart decisions. Crown of Life, looking at physical life, there are many things in Scripture that God says will change your life. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 say, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now that's a truism. There are many people that live exactly as God commands, and they're killed for it. But yet the truism is when you obey God's word, it increases the length of your life and the productivity of your life, the enjoyment of your life. Ephesians 6 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, there are some things that, and I'm sure maybe looking back, if you had unsaved parents, you said that really was a trial. I don't know if you ever heard this growing up in Iowa. I heard parents tell their kids, I brought you into the world and I can take you out of it. I always hoped they were joking, and my friends always hung around, so I guess they were. And we realized that's not really what the passage is talking about. The passage is talking about when you honor your parents, God is saying, this is what will happen to you, not just because your parents won't kill you, but because there are other benefits involved with even respecting authority in general. We also see the inverse of that. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You know, serving God typically leads to long life, and wickedness typically leads to shorter life. We learned about that in Sunday school this morning, how even the children of Israel, when they had the dietary laws and the sanitation laws and such, it helped them as a nation, even with basic things like health, because it told them where the latrine should be, and it promoted the general health of the society. Now, this makes sense to us, though. We get this. You know, there are many things in life that we can do that don't help our health. We have a wonderful table over here full of many good things, and yet we all know where you get diabetes. You know, it's not that sweets are the only thing that lead to diabetes, but they do help. You know, we know where lung cancer comes from, mouth cancer comes from. We understand where liver disease comes from. There are things that we can choose to our body that there are things we can choose to do to our body that just aren't smart and don't treat our body like the temple of the Holy Ghost. Abby and I are trying to exercise. We're doing some tennis right now. It's a good time. The decisions aren't always easy, but there are good things that you can do that add to general life. But that's not necessarily with a crown of life what it's referring to. I was surprised how many commentaries said, this is Jesus, this is God promising that those that love him will receive a crown of physical life. And that just doesn't make sense. The other time that this is referred to with a crown of life is in Revelation 2, when it's talking about tribulation and saying that people will be thrown in prison and endure for 10 days and be given a crown of life. And it doesn't talk about their release. Doesn't sound like he's talking about physical life, because the people he promises physical life to didn't make it. Does that make sense? Okay, so if we're not talking about physical life, we're talking about spiritual life and eternal life. Because we realize we're all going to live somewhere forever. And the one picture says we were dead and now we're alive. And the other picture says everybody lives somewhere forever. But if you have spiritual life, you are living in heaven with God, which is much better. This is what it's talking about when it's talking about a crown of life. It's talking about your reward will include spiritual and eternal life. We've already talked about how the crown of life, childhood memories. You know, the first thing I see when I'm thinking about crowns that you get in heaven is I'm thinking about the gem-studded ones that we saw in children's Sunday school. We realize that's probably not what it's talking about here when it's talking about a crown of life. It's talking about a reward of life. Sure seems like it's talking about salvation when it's talking about the reward of living in heaven. So what do you think? When it's talking about blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive a crown of life. Is a crown of life good motivation? A lot of people that say they're spiritual say, oh, rewards are a bad source of motivation for a Christian. I mean, what about the people that just do what they're supposed to do because of the reward? Rewards are maybe things that we use for children when they're 3 years old because they know that if they do this, they'll get a marshmallow, and if they don't, they won't. But surely we as adults don't need rewards. That's crazy. If God gives a reward, it must be something that is good. You know, we're going to go back later on in the chapter and talk about how every good gift cometh from God. If God's giving this reward, it's a good thing. There are better motivations for it, for serving God, but a crown of life is a good thing. Let's look at one more thing in this. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. That word blessed is an interesting word. In Greek, it means blessed or happy. So some translations state, happy is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And Abby and I have talked about that this morning, and what I've been told is I'm not allowed to say this word doesn't mean happy. Okay? I'm not allowed to say that. But it sure seems like while we can rejoice in trials, there's nothing happy about the trial itself. It seems like you can be blessed now about something you'll be happy about in the future, because the blessing is what is coming in the future. So we're blessed now if we're saved. But the happiness comes when there's a place where Christ will wipe away all tears from our eyes in the future. And we can look at it in the long run and say, we're blessed because of the happiness that will follow. We could even go as far as to say, a man can be blessed even when he isn't happy. You know, we associate happiness with emotions. It's not necessarily saying that if you endure temptation, you'll be emotionally happy. But it is saying that you'll be spiritually blessed. When we keep a focus on the big picture, we'll see blessing even without the emotional joy sometimes. Because eternal rewards are worth any amount of temporary trial. That's why even when there's physical death involved in a trial, the person can be blessed. Think about the example of Jim Elliot. You know, when you look at everything he went through, everything his family went through, and yet the spiritual realizations that they had that what they were doing was valuable and important and for the cause of Christ, and thinking about where they are now, even though they had a hard time in life, they were blessed by God. Okay, so we've talked about how you must persevere in trials because God honors endurance. Let's look at the other half of the verse. Because God honors endurance, you must persevere in love. This I found fascinating, and the more I think about it, the more it ties right in with 1 John. You know, there's just no way around it. James looks at love and says, it's not a feeling, it's an action. In counseling class, I learned things that changed how I thought about stuff. And one of the things I learned was a lot of marriages say, a lot of people in marriages that are going badly say, I just don't love the person. And what they're saying is obviously love is an emotion, and they're saying, well, I fell into love because it was an emotional response, and I guess I fell out of love, which is an emotional response. And one of the first things in marital counseling then is to teach the couple that love is an action that leads to emotion. And the same thing is true when we're looking at our love for God. It should involve an emotional response, but it's based in action. Let's read the whole verse again, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So according to the verse, everyone that loves God gets the crown of life, and everyone that gets the crown of life loves God. They're inseparably tied. Let me read a couple verses to you from 1 John that I think will help us understand. That godly love is shown through actions. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. He showed us how to love, and how did he do that? He sent his son. You know, it's not that we had sinned and he said, man, that's rough, I feel for you. No, he sent his son. He performed an action that proved his love for us. Our love for him, likewise, is an action. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So John says the action is the proof of the love, which is the proof of salvation. Now we realize you're not saved by works, but works proceed out of saving faith. You know, that's the whole controversy that Luther was figuring out from the Roman Catholic Church, was because they flipped it and said, well, obviously it's the works that save you. No, but the salvation leads to works. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So even love for others is somehow attached to this godly love. We also see from 1 John that there's another type of love. There's a worldly love. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, if we love the world, we're going to fail in trials because the love of God is not in us. Same goes with if we love ourselves, which is why I find it fascinating that some people say, well, you can't tell people that they're going to get a crown if they endure, because then they'll just endure because they want the crown rather than loving God. According to this, it sure looks like it is only through our love for God that we will endure trials. If you keep failing at the trial, maybe the trial is too important in your life. Maybe God is not as important as he should be in your life. First John 4:20 says, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Fascinating concepts about how when we get our focus off of who God is, it changes our responses to others, and we say, well, no, but I still love God. How can you judge me when I do love God. I just hate this guy. God's word sure seems to say, let me tell you how I can know if you love God. Your actions are very important. And the encouraging thing, as I mentioned before, is when you choose to act out love, be it to a spouse, to a friend, or to God, it changes your affection. When you choose to serve God and say, God, I love you through my actions, it will change your attitude and make it to where it is a joy to do so. As I mentioned last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I find it fascinating how many people want to go to heaven and yet in their actions sure seem to hate the God that they want to spend eternity with. It is only when you choose to serve God and your affections are drawn toward Him that this crown of life is actually a good thing. If you're convinced that serving self is the most important thing, heaven's not your place. It's all about serving God. There's no place in the entire universe that revolves around you or revolves around me. Let's sum this up. God expects us to pass the tests of life with our faith still intact. This isn't easy, but rather is one of the hardest things in life. It mandates that the Christian not only survive life, but also keep focused on the most important thing in life, following Jesus Christ. You can't turn to your own strength to endure temptation. You can't turn to your own strength to make it through a trial. It is your love of Jesus Christ, evidenced through actions, that will let you make it through trials. And while we fail frequently, it is that love of Jesus Christ that propels us to continually want to serve Him and that evidences the faith and salvation that God has given. Because God honors endurance, you must endure trials. Let's pray together. Lord, we look again at this passage in James and we ask for your strength. There are so many trials we face on a daily basis, and we can't in our own strength overcome them, but we know that we can overcome them in your strength when we love you. And we pray that you would strengthen our love and strengthen our faith. Help us with the trials we will face this week to be victorious, not for our own glory, but for yours. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.